Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few inspirational moments and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. Today, I was thinking of the innocence and blessing of children. And so, you know, the interesting thing is that when you look back at life, you see the opportunities and you see the turns that life made. You can see where you hit a roadblock, and you can see where you started to bloom. And so by being now in my mid-50s, I have a lot of moments I can look back on and smile with and write about. And so now I'm sitting back and I'm recalling these memories, and yeah, it's just a really great feeling. It made me think too, because, you know, as a grandmother and a mother of children in general, a loving mother, I just feel like the community's children are my children, and they're your children too. I look at things that were pivotal for me that maybe could have been handled differently. And so today, I just want to talk about that. I want to look at ways we can think differently so that we can get a better reaction from the children that we're responsible for. And so, you know, it's looking at the issue as an opportunity. And as I think of this, I think of something one of my girlfriends shared with me from Uganda. I think it was my girl from Uganda. She was telling me that when a child lies, steals, or does something there, they take them to a tree, and then everyone sits and they talk to him, or they might stand and talk to him, and they tell him how good he is. And by them doing that, that's how they stop their children from doing what they don't want them to do, from stealing or from lying. And it's really interesting. And I'll have to do some research, because I think I'd like to learn more about that so that I can actually speak more to it and also share it, you know, with my son as he's raising his son. And so as I was looking at this and thinking, I was thinking about how blessed, you know, my childhood was. And, you know, my childhood was full of my mother's love, my father's protection, and as I shared with you before, just a fantastic community of loving neighbors on Beacon Hill. And my mind rarely turned off. So I wrote poems and I placed songs into my heart to share with God each day. And so a lot of times I would just sing all the way home, hopping and skipping and turning flips. And yes, cartwheels were just my thing. And as I look back now, I can see those beautiful streets. In some of the old places that are no longer open, there was this place called Pal's who had the most fantastic burgers. That was back when I ate beef. And so as I'm looking at this and thinking about the fact that all of my joy was, it was untapped joy, and it was a freedom that our children don't have today. And, you know, the loss of that freedom still bothers me for today's children, because I think that made a big difference. I know it made a huge difference. But I was remembering, you know, other parts of my childhood where adults would say, you know, be quiet, sit down, stop turning, you're talking too much. Why are you flipping a cartwheel in here? Do you ever stop and just be still? And as I was thinking of those words, some of my smile disappeared. It kind of like started fading, because I remembered how those words kind of hit me in my chest. Now, most of the times, you know, I was too busy turning the flips and cartwheels to really think about it. But there were moments where maybe someone put their hand on my shoulder and said, this is not a function for kids. This is not a place where you should be. Go do such and such. And as I was remembering that, I was thinking that I too have said those words to children in my life, right? And so I'm wondering about the damage I may have done to young hearts, precious minds, and innocent children of God. And so, you know, I'm always thinking, as you learn better, you do better. So I'm trying to learn more about what they have identified as child psychology. So as I was sitting and thinking all these things through, I realized that those admonishments were usually from teachers who probably didn't need to be teaching, but they were teaching. And we still, unfortunately, have some of those teachers out in society now. And I think probably 90 to 95% of the teachers who are teaching truly love children. But there are those, you know, 2 to 5%, maybe even 10%, who really don't have the patience. Or maybe they've just taught so long, they need to retire and let someone else do it. I don't know what their issues are. But our children are being negatively affected. That's my point. I listened to a gentleman last night who was speaking about how his daughter's teacher told her to not tell her father what had happened in the classroom. And it shocked me because I thought that would never be a situation that would occur, right? I mean, as a human, you understand that people can say those things, but as a parent, you think that teachers are at a different level of, you think that they're a little better prepared as a career person, giving their life to little ones and extending love to little ones, that they wouldn't ask the child to lie to their parent or tell a child not to tell their parent something. And it made me stop and think, because I think we have to have more conversations with our children. I know that we always ask, how was your day? How was your classroom? What did you learn? You know, but we need to ask to make sure that other things aren't going on too, so that children feel that we are really interested in their day. So we might ask it differently, so it's not the same conversation each time a child gets into the car. You know, maybe we'll say, how is your teacher doing? You know, has your teacher, you know, shared anything about her personal life? You know, does she have any animals? Just something so that, you know, we're getting our kids comfortable and they're more willing to talk to us and tell us more about what's going on. Because just as children can be bullied by other children, children can be bullied by teachers. And that behavior will actually negate how well a child does as they go through school. Now, the other thing I listened to yesterday was how they were saying that children who are given the expectation that they will do well, do extremely well. And they were looking at how children were moving past stereotypes based upon what was said to them prior to the test. And the book I was reading was called Your Mind on Stereotypes. And it was really interesting because it actually took stereotypes beyond just a black, white, or Hispanic, or Asian situation. And it really put life facts in front of your face. And when you listen to the author and you understand the research that's done, you'll understand what I mean about how children actually can be said, you know, girls are doing really well on this test, right? Instead of just giving a child a test and having them already have in the back of their mind, wow, girls don't do well on science or math or whatever it is. But if you give them that expectation before you hand them the test, they were doing a much more amazing job. And so, you know, as I think of this, I think of the opportunities we have each day with our children and our neighbor's children and children that we meet on maybe at the bus stop or in the library. And of course, we're still, you know, doing some of the social distancing and we're taking care of ourselves and we're being safe. But just make sure that you are there and you are a welcoming ear to a child that might come your way. And so as I was thinking of all of this, you know, I was picturing my little self just skipping and singing and praying to God all the way home. And I don't know if I shared with my mother or my father that that's what I was doing, but if they had ever drove past me, that's what they would have seen. And I love that memory. I love that memory of that little precious heart. And so, you know, I also realized that I need to spend more time with that memory. And so as I was given the opportunity to be a grandmother to a young child about 14 years ago, I was able to parent her in the way that I would have loved to be raised and loved and smothered with kisses and as a grandchild. You know, my grandmother was far away, and so I never had that really close connection with a biological grandmother. I had people in the community that were just phenomenal. The point that I'm saying with you today is that our children can be happy, they can be joyful, they can grow up and be productive adults, they can have a love of God, and they can have freedom if we are there to shepherd and guide them appropriately. And my love of God, my love of joy, and my desire to be good and to write kept me motivated and encouraged. And I dreamed that I would meet Maya Angelou one day. And I championed Cesar Chavez, you know, when he was out there marching for, you know, the rights of the farmers. And those are the things that I think every child needs to have. To be innocent, to just have someone that they can look up to, look forward to, in addition to their parents. Because kids like heroes, and Maya was my hero, and she still is. Pure memories are the best gift you can give your child. And you might think your child doesn't remember them, but there are things I remember at the age of like 4. I don't remember a lot of things, but there are some things I remember at 4. And some things I remember a little later, maybe at 6 or 7. And every once in a while, I find a picture of me and I go, I remember that outfit, or I remember where I was. And I share them with my children now, you know, because I want them to also have those memories. So as I was thinking and realizing, that we can do better, I released some of the hurt that I still had in my heart for that young girl who was hollered at and told to be still. This is not where you belong. And I am forgiving the people who said that. The other thing I want to tell you is that children hear everything. You may be talking to someone in a low tone because you don't think they're hearing. But when you don't think a child is hearing, that's when they're listening most. And so there were individuals in my life that did not know I was listening to things they were saying. And those things kind of framed my world for many years. I remember someone saying that I was going to have big hips and thighs. And I didn't realize how I had internalized that until probably 30 years later, when I realized that I had this internalized fear of being overweight. And for me to say that right now is huge because I never said that. But that's what those words I heard put into my spirit, even at that young, tender age of 6 or 7. So I'm going to say to you, if you haven't sat with your younger self in a while, sit down, meditate, write a letter, or just say a prayer and thank God for the life that you lived and what has brought you to where you are today. Embrace your inner child. Heal the areas you need to heal. And share the things in your life that brought you the most joy with the people you love. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. Be joyful and live in love. Because you know, that's what God wants us to do. Be well. Goodbye.